Dear fellow believers in Jesus Christ, hear the word of the Lord before us this morning. We read from Job 14, verses 1 through 6, the words of Job. Man born of woman has a few short days, and they are full of anxiety. He blossoms like a flower, but soon withers. He recedes like a shadow and does not remain. You keep your eye on such a man. You bring me into judgment in your presence. Who can produce something pure from something that is impure? No one. Certainly his days are determined. The number of his months has been set by you. A limit is set which he cannot exceed. Turn your gaze away from him and let him be until he finishes his day's work as a hired man. This is God's word before us today. Dear fellow redeemed of Christ, are you a judgmental person? That's quite a loaded question. Most of us would probably say, no, I'm not judgmental. Being judgmental is negative in our culture. It's not considered good, wise, valuable to be a judgmental person. But what exactly does that mean? The word judgment itself simply means a decision, a conclusion. By that definition, a judgmental person is simply someone who makes judgments. When you break it down like that, well, we're all judgmental in one way or another. You have to be judgmental in order to live. You have to make decisions in life. If you're someone who chooses what you eat each day or what type of job you perform, if you choose who you associate with from day to day, if you're a parent who makes a decision about what to teach your children, then you have made a judgment. Obviously, when it comes to our faith, you can't be a Christian without being judgmental. Chances are, though, that's not what you thought of when I asked the question. You probably didn't think, am I someone who makes decisions? When you hear the word judgmental, you probably thought of somebody who sits in a condescending position over someone else and points the finger at them about how bad they are. Certainly, that's not what we aim to be or should be. We can talk about how we use the word judgment, but what really matters today in God's house and through God's word is what God means by it. We know that God talks a lot about judgment in his word. It's a theme that we pick up here at the end of the church year as we think about the end times, that God's judgment is coming down the line. The very thing that Jesus spoke about in Matthew 24 there in our scripture reading is going to happen at some point. He will judge the world. And we often think of God's judgment in a negative way because of our sins. You certainly get that sense in Job's thoughts today. Not a very uplifting text from God's word. Job depicted God's judgment in a very personal and specific way because of what he experienced in his life. Some of the things that Job experienced were a direct result of sins he had committed, and therefore he was responsible for them. But some of the things that Job experienced were out of his control. They weren't due necessarily to something Job did or didn't do. They were still a product of sin in the world. But the type of sin that we all wrestle with, living in a sinful world. Job's outlook seems quite bleak. He speaks of human mortality, anxiety, death, struggle, toil, temptation, test. It's hard to think that any of us have been through the same things that Job went through. You know his book well enough. But we've all been through things in life that have touched on those topics. And those are the difficult things to understand as a Christian when you go through those things, when you feel and experience those things. It's hard to understand the true nature of judgment. The biblical understanding of judgment is critical to our faith. Critical not just because of what God has to say about sin, but because his judgment has something to say about salvation too. It's also critical Because as Christians, we kind of need to take back that term from our culture. Every belief system, every religion, every philosophy makes judgments about certain things, just like every individual does. We as Christians need to be on guard against giving up the judgments of our faith that are founded on the Word of God, because there are some in the world that don't believe in them. You cannot be a person who gives up being judgmental entirely. That is not possible. Every person comes to conclusions, makes decisions about what to believe. You can't become a completely neutral person that says, okay, I'm never going to make another judgment in my life. I'm going to be completely unbiased. It doesn't exist. The reality of it is that you simply exchange one judgment for another. Another way of thinking about it in terms of what Job says in our text is that a judgment is coming to the conclusion of a matter. Think about any good book or story that you like. My guess is that it's going to come to a conclusion at some point. Every good story, every good movie, every good book comes to an end at some point. It wraps everything up. We don't like stories that ramble on without a point and a purpose. We want something that decides the matter. And so built into our own thinking about other areas of life is this topic of judgment. A judgment indicates the termination of something, the end of something. We could apply this to actual events or things in the world like Jesus did. There is going to be an actual day of judgment. There is a conclusion to that matter. But it can also apply to our beliefs, to the ideas that we have in our heart, even to the feelings that we experience. There's going to be a conclusion to those things as well. There's a judgment of those things also. And here's the point of today's lesson from God's Word. Any belief, any faith that is valuable can be followed to its conclusion. Many non-Christians criticize our faith because of the judgments that it makes, without considering the conclusion of their own beliefs. And the result of that for us as Christians is that we're tempted to buy a false bill of goods on how we view God, how we listen to His Word and interpret it, and what we understand about our faith. We're led to distrust what God has to say about life and what we experience if the Christian worldview truly comes to false judgments. But consider other beliefs for a moment. Consider atheism as an example. Atheism being the belief that God does not exist. Of all the belief systems opposed to Christianity, this is probably one of the greatest areas of criticism against our faith. Most of the arguments you'll hear that try to pick apart the Word of God or try to discredit the work of Christ are going to come from this type of philosophy, from principles espoused by the atheistic worldview that God does not exist. But have you ever stopped to think? Do atheists follow their faith, their beliefs, to its conclusion? Truly, they make judgments, but it's really a scary prospect if they follow those beliefs to their end. Think about the principles of the worldview that says there is no God. Well, certainly God does not exist. That's one. Religion is man-made. It perhaps has some cultural value, but it's not true. And in fact, it can be dangerous if followed literally. Therefore, also, since there is no God and since religion holds no real value, there is no religion superior to another, except the religion of atheism. If God does not exist, then God did not create us. God did not rescue us from sin. God did not die on the cross. God did not do anything that the Bible says He did. If Jesus existed, even as a historical figure, He certainly was not the Son of God. He certainly did not have any divine capabilities. If God does not exist, if Jesus did not die, if he is not our Savior, then sin is merely an idea that we come up with in our minds to deal with shame and guilt. Finally, we're reaching the end, we're reaching the conclusion, right? There is no heaven or hell. Life ends after you die. And by the way, along the way of life, there really are no true moral absolutes or principles, and so whatever's considered right and wrong in the society that you live in is simply dictated by the majority. And there is no anchor or grounding to those rights and wrongs. These are the individual principles of atheism, and it's truly a terrifying picture if we follow them to their logical conclusion. They present a drastic picture of life and eternity. If there are no absolute laws or standards that every person in the world should live by, then who's to say what is right or wrong? How do we maintain order? Furthermore, if God did not create us, and if God did not exist, and we are simply products of random chance, who's to say that life is valuable? Why should we treat others with compassion and kindness? Furthermore, where do the realms of logic, reason, wisdom, love, emotion, where do they fit in an entirely materialistic worldview that has no presence of the divine? When you follow this belief system, and it is a belief system, it is a faith, when you follow it to its conclusion, you end up in a scary place. And thankfully, not many people, not many atheists actually do that. Because what happens is they state the principles, they say they believe a certain thing, but they'll fill in the gaps with morality and justice and elements from God, compassion and kindness. You can put the same test to all the other religions of the world. And when you get to their conclusion, when you get to their end point, when you finally figure out what judgment do they make, it will not leave you with a picture of hope. How is the Christian perspective any better? And what does Job have to do with this? If Job was a believer, if Job was a follower of God, and he had the right worldview, why does he paint this picture the way he does? Well, Job followed the true teaching of repentance and the effect of sin to its end, to its conclusion. And you certainly see the depth and the gravity of that as Job portrays it in the words of our text. That's where Job talks about futility, death, pain, and suffering, because that is the reality of sin. That is the conclusion of sin. That is the judgment of what has happened to this corrupted world. What you see is a truly catastrophic picture of what unrighteousness has unleashed in God's creation around us. And we can follow that path to its conclusion because it is a judgment. It does have an end point. And that's not the end of our Christian faith. It's certainly part of it. We can be honest and upfront about sin. We don't have to shy away from the scary picture that it does confront and give us, because that's not the complete end. The difference is that God came into the world and made a different judgment. God came in and entered our life, and he made a decision about how to handle sin. He said that it would have a termination, it would have a conclusion, it would have an ending. Job expresses the finality of that in-depth look into sin and mortality in verse 4. It doesn't get any deeper than this. Who can produce something pure from something that is impure? No one. There you have it in one verse. The judgment of sin. The end of the matter. The conclusion of where we are led when we recognize the reality of our sins and transgressions in light of God's righteous law. Any hope that we have of trying to justify ourselves, of trying to prove ourselves worthy of God, of prying open the gates of heaven by our works and efforts, any hope we have of that nature is dashed to pieces on this single truth. No one can bring something pure from something impure. But it's God, not us. It's God who has the final say. It's also in this very verse you see the tiny seed of the gospel planted. The futility that Job expressed was from his perspective. And truly, he was honest. He was right. He was correct in what he said. This is what it looks like from our perspective. But from the perspective of Jesus, the righteous man, the firstborn over all creation, things look much different. That's why we see comfort here as well. Because he is the one who could make the impure clean. I don't have to try to manufacture righteousness on my own. Jesus did. I don't need to justify myself before God. Jesus does. I don't have to try to conceal and cover up the realities of following the law to its conclusion, because Jesus upheld it. Jesus is able to cleanse the impure. He is the only one. And for the one who hears and receives the gospel message, that seed starts to grow. And that seed rises up out of the ashes of our condemnation and judgment under God's law. Job knew this. Job believed in his Savior even though he expressed these thoughts. Many people doubt that when they read the book of Job because of the way it sounds, because of the frustration that Job expressed. But do we recognize in Job's words our own lives? If Job didn't believe and trust in God, he would have never expressed any frustration to God to begin with. He would have given up with what he had faced. The very fact that Job wrestled and struggled with this concept of suffering with the grace of God shows that he knew God was more than condemnation over sin. Job was somebody who desperately desired deliverance from God because he knew and believed that that hope was alive. We know that Job would eventually confess the wondrous comfort of his resurrected Savior in chapter 19. That Savior, that one who came and cleansed Job of his impurities. And Job would confess that, though my flesh is destroyed. Talk about the reality of sin's damage. Though my flesh is destroyed, I know that I shall see God in my own eyes because of his Redeemer. But even here in this chapter, amidst such desperation, the same hope is there. The tiny seed of the gospel is planted. Job talks about man's life as a flower that grows up and withers and perishes. It's temporary and fleeting. It's not something we can hope in. But what does endure and what does last is what grows from the message of forgiveness in Jesus Christ, the substance of our faith in him. And so by following the law to its conclusion that we deserve to be judged in our sin by God, God unlocks to us through Jesus Christ the judgment of the gospel. That in his name you are forgiven and redeemed. You are cleansed from something that you could not take care of yourself. And that is the conclusion of the matter. Where the law leaves us in dust and ashes and death, faith endures. And that gospel seed grows. Even Jesus himself likened faith to that tiny mustard seed. Remember, one of the tiniest of all seeds, but can grow up into a vibrant plant that grows and produces fruit. So too is the conclusion to our faith in Jesus. We are blessed to follow the good news to its end, to its judgment. That is similar to the law. The law was given by Jesus, so was the gospel. The law is written and confirmed in the Word of God, so is the gospel. The law is unchangeable, so is the gospel. The law applies to all people, so does the gospel. But the one difference is in its effect on our lives. The judgment of faith does not produce condemnation and disaster, but it produces hope. Likewise, Job would express later on in this chapter, he said to the Lord, "You number my steps, but you do not watch over my sin. My transgression is sealed up in a bag, and you cover my iniquity." Many people who reject Jesus portray their lives as if their belief is based on an unshakable foundation. And truly, from outward observation, the Christian faith is what looks fragile and fleeting. As Christians base their highest confidence and hope on what they cannot see. And so very often we imitate Job's struggle in our lives. Things seem too far out of our control. Fear and distress flood our minds and our hearts when we see the reality of sin. Deliverance from God seems like a distant dream that will never take place. And yet there's more than meets the eye. Because you have a faith that you can follow to its end, to its conclusion. Those who trust in themselves over Jesus, those who reject the Savior, they don't have that. They may look good in time and space, but it will not measure up at the end. You have a way forward through the pain, the bitterness, the heartache that you experience, just as Job did. They are living realities. They are hard. They are difficult. But you can embrace God's judgment in the law because of his judgment in the gospel. God chose and decided it in eternity. His conclusion to the matter was that he would intervene in your life and rescue you from condemnation. So when you see the dirtiness of life, when you experience the hurt and the pain of sin, it sets the stage for you to see Jesus more clearly. As deep as the condemnation of the law goes when you reach its finality, the gospel reaches even further. Sometimes it seems difficult to follow that path in our lives. Sometimes the trial will be long and drawn out. But stay with your Savior and his word. Continue to follow your faith to its end. And along the way, you might be surprised how the Lord will bless you and sustain you along that journey. And ultimately, at the end, no matter what happens to you here on this earth, he awaits in heaven for you. That's the judgment of your faith in Jesus Christ. And thank the Lord that it is. God grant you strength and perseverance in your faith to continue forward in his name. Amen.